Please open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7 may be the strangest chapter in the Bible. Why do I say that? Well, for starters, it's a very long chapter. By number of verses, it's the second longest chapter in the Bible after Psalm 119. And by number of words, it's the fourth largest chapter in the Bible. In fact, clocking in with 1,939 words in the English King James Version, just this one chapter of Numbers, chapter 7, is longer than 16 entire books of the Bible, including 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Titus, 2 Peter, and 2 Timothy. But its length is not why it's strange. Psalm 119 is long, but it's not strange. Why do I say Numbers 7 is strange? Well, the strangeness comes when you sit down to read it. And it comes in waves, 12 waves to be precise. Of the 89 verses in Numbers chapter 7, 60 of them are devoted to 12 almost identical lists of things offered to the Lord at the dedication of an altar. Each of those 12 groups consists of 6 verses, and those 6 verses in each group are almost word for word identical to the other groups. No one who has ever read the chapter can possibly fail to notice it. Let's read the first group, verse 12. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Aminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was one silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour, mingled with oil for a meat offering. One spoon of 10 shekels of gold, full of incense. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year, for a burnt offering. One kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Aminadab. And on it goes for the other 11 tribes, leaving any reader of Numbers chapter 7 with a simple question: why? Why did God place this imposing, enigmatic megalith of a chapter here or anywhere in the Bible for that reason? Why didn't he just give us a single simple list that covered all the offerings and then have said, as some modern paraphrases do, and all the other tribes gave the same thing? What is the message of Numbers chapter 7? Well, right at the start, we should note that Numbers chapter 7 has been called by some the most boring chapter in the Bible. Now, to anyone who loves the Scriptures, the phrase "most boring chapter in the Bible" is akin to the phrase "most affordable Van Gogh painting." There are no boring chapters in the Bible. And if it seems boring to us, that's just because we haven't studied it enough. And number 7 may end up being a very good example of that tonight. Perhaps we will find that what some have called the most boring chapter in the Bible is actually one of the most beautiful and moving chapters in the Bible. So what is Numbers 7 all about? Well, Numbers 7 is devoted to the dedication of an altar. And we see that right there in verse 10. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed, even the princes offered their offering before the altar. We see it also at the end of verse 88, all the way nearly to the very end of the chapter. At the end of verse 88, this was the dedication of the altar. After that, it was anointed. Well, what altar is this? We have two possibilities: the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering. The altar of incense, that was an altar made of wood covered by gold. It stood before the veil of the Holy of Holies. The priest would offer on it every day. That's the altar before which the angel appeared to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. And as that event tells us, common people were not allowed to approach this altar. It stood just outside the Holy of Holies, and the common people were never allowed to see it. That last fact tells me that the altar of incense is not the altar here in Numbers chapter 7. Why do I say that? Well, because verse 10, which we just read, tells us that the princes of the people stood before this altar. They could approach it. They could stand before it. That's not true of the altar of incense. But it is true of the next altar, and that's the altar of burnt offering. The altar of burnt offering was very different from the altar of incense. For starters, there was no gold on the altar of burnt offering. It was wood covered by bronze. And second, it could be approached by common people, unlike the altar of incense. Why? Well, because this altar of burnt offering stood in the courtyard, outside in the tabernacle area. And so people could approach it. People could see it. And the priest then would make the sacrifices every day upon that altar. And in fact, another difference between the two altars is that the altar of burnt offering, I'm sure, was very difficult to keep clean. Every day, animals and fat and blood would be offered on that altar. It's very different. It's the dedication of that altar, the altar of burnt offering, that we're looking at here in Numbers chapter 7. And the description of that dedication, of that altar, is longer than 16 entire books of the Bible. Why? Well, let's start our investigation of that question by looking at the end of chapter 7. Look at verse 89 of Numbers chapter 7. Verse 89, "And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony, from between the two cherubim, and he spake unto him." Verse 89 of Numbers chapter 7 fulfills a promise that God made to Moses in Exodus 25, 21 and 22. Exodus 25, verses 21 and 22. "And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat," God said to Moses. In Exodus 25, that promise was yet future. In Numbers 7, verse 89, it has been fulfilled. The mercy seat, as the name suggests, was the place of atonement for sins made on the Day of Atonement. And verse 89 tells us it was there, after this dedication, that Moses heard God speaking. So, in fact, the place of atonement, the mercy seat, was also the place of closest communion with God as God spoke to Moses at the mercy seat. They were one and the same. But the people in Numbers 7 could not approach the mercy seat. The common people could not approach it because it was located within the Holy of Holies. So in fact, they were cut off from that place of closest communion with God. But they could approach the altar of burnt offering. And the people dedicated that altar in verses 1 through 88 of Numbers chapter 7. And in verse 89, God speaks to Moses from the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies. What is the significance of this? Well, to answer that question, we need to think about Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. Because in those two chapters, God tells us that the holy things under the old covenant were shadows or representations of the true holy things under the new covenant. So we have to ask the question, what is the New Testament spiritual reality that corresponds to the Old Testament altar of burnt offering? Isn't it the cross? Doesn't it have to be the cross? Because it's at the cross where the perfect sacrifice was offered up to God. Well, what then in the New Testament is the perfect spiritual reality that corresponds to the shadow of the mercy seat in the Old Testament? Isn't it once again the cross? Isn't it the cross where our perfect high priest made the perfect atonement for the sins of the people? In the Old Testament, the altar and the mercy seat were separate because the common people could not approach one, but they could approach the other. They were separate. In the New Testament, Christ has brought them both together in the cross. In the cross as our Lamb and as our perfect high priest. Verse 88 of Numbers chapter 7 mentions that altar of burnt offering. And verse 89 mentions the mercy seat. A curtain stood between verse 88 and verse 89. A curtain stood between those two verses. And we see that same curtain in Mark chapter 15, verse 38. "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom." That's the curtain. Jesus opened the door to the mercy seat at the cross. But why do we have 88 verses leading up to that event there in verse 89? Closest community. Why the 88 verses preceding it? Well, to answer that question, we need to look again at Mark chapter 15. But we need to look a few verses earlier, verses 31 and 32 of Mark chapter 15. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." The chief priests and scribes of Israel in Mark 15 did not honor the altar. Instead, they mocked both it and the one who was giving himself upon that altar, upon that cross, to open the curtain there in Numbers chapter 7. Why is Numbers chapter 7 so long? Because when the leaders of Israel honored the altar of burnt offering in Numbers chapter 7, they were ultimately honoring the cross of Jesus Christ. This lengthy dedication of the first altar in Numbers chapter 7 was God's way of providing in advance the honor due to the altar of the better covenant, which is the cross of his Son. Each tribe participates in this dedication in Numbers chapter 7, and each tribe is shown separately. They took their time in honoring that altar, and God did not want any reader to miss the significance of what they were doing. As they honored that altar of burnt offering, they were honoring the cross in advance. But why did they do it in advance? Because God knew that when his Son would be on that cross, the people of Israel would not be honoring it, but would instead be mocking it, which is what they were doing. Think about the difference between that altar and that cross. As you read through the books of Moses, you see how the altar of burnt offering was carefully shaped, carefully prepared, carefully cared for by God's people. But the cross of Christ was roughly prepared by Roman soldiers. The shadow was beautiful, but the cross was not, at least not by human standards. The altar that could not save was honored, but the cross was mocked. So God provided the honor for that cross in advance, and that honor is found in Numbers chapter 7. A message that rings with clarity throughout the Bible is that God's Son will be honored by all mankind. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." But for many, that honor will be given too late. We must honor Jesus in this life to later enjoy eternal life with him in heaven. And God's message to Moses in verse 89 is his message to us as well. If we honor Christ in faithful obedience, then God will dwell with us and he will commune with us. The theme of the Bible is reconciliation with God, and that reconciliation happens at the cross. Few chapters in the Bible give us a better glimpse of the cross than does Numbers chapter 7. Its prophecy, its purpose, its glory, its honor. The cross is a place of sacrifice and a place of reconciliation, and we see both of those in Numbers chapter 7. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice. Leave with him your care and begin life anew. If we can do anything to help you tonight, please come while we stand and while we sing.